Our Bible study tonight is out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 19, responding well to false teachers by an upright teaching ministry. Having introduced the need to hold to true apostolic doctrine in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13 and so forth, Paul directed Timothy on having an effective ministry as a church leader relative to false teachers that were starting to plague the church in his day. And the first order of business in this realm is an upright teaching ministry as detailed in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. I'd like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Beginning at verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 2, "Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study or give diligence to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is already past, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Actually, in the Bible study that I had here tonight, I actually went only as far as verse 16. You might want to correct that. I'll have to get back into the computer and correct that. And we'll do that. I'm just making notes here to that effect. Went up just to verse 16. I got going into the study and I found that I could only cover these three verses. There's just a tremendous amount of information here. Church leaders have to counter false teachers and teachings before the congregation. Verse 14. "Of these things put them in remembrance," and the them would be the congregation, "charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers." They should continually remind. You have a present imperative, hupomenesco. Actually, the verb is hupomimneske, which is a present imperative of hupomenesco, a reminder to call to mind. In other words, keep on reminding. One of the commentaries I read indicated that the vast bulk of pastoral ministry is basically reminding people. And the reason for that is we live in a world of great darkness, and we're constantly being flooded with error. And it's very, very easy to start slipping into error without sometimes even thinking about it. A couple of weeks ago, I was talking to one of the ladies in her church, a longtime member. And she asked me, was Jesus Christ really fully human? And I was surprised because that's actually a docetic error or a heresy to deny the humanity of Jesus Christ. And I said, yes, he was. He was fully man. Now, we're not detracting from the fact that he was also fully God. He was fully God in the flesh. I said, if that's not true, if he's not in the flesh, if he's not fully man, he couldn't represent you on the cross and you have no salvation. He has to be a mediator. Mediator by definition has to identify both parties. He has to identify both with man and with God. That's why he's the man God. And then I pointed out that, after all, Jesus is of the seed of David. He's Jewish. In fact, when he comes back to the earth and the Jewish people ask him, who put those marks in your hand? He says, my brethren did, my countrymen. Because he's Jewish. He's of the seed of David. He's a human being. He's also God come in the flesh. But I was amazed, and so I had to counter that error because, you know, if you're not in the Word all the time or you're facing information out there, you can be misled into error very, very quickly. So this is what teachers should do, continually remind. Now, along with this, church leaders must continually charge or warn. Deum marturum is the participle, and it describes the action of the main verb hupomenesco. So while you're constantly reminding, you're also continually charging fellow believers before the Lord of the negative need to avoid word battles, wordy controversies, and quibbling about words that fail to edify the hearer. That's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14. So there's a constant need here to remind people about these negative situations. Don't strive about words to no profit. And constantly charge them to remember these doctrines that he's just been mentioning in the past. So church leaders have to counter false teachers and teachings. Now, my wife and I started out in a church where we met, and the pastor there did a good job of that. He was constantly reminding us of error. But what he failed to do was a good job of the next step. If you're going to be saying no, no, no to false teachings, you're leaving, you're creating a vacuum. You have to fill the vacuum with the yes, yes, yes. So when you teach, like we were talking about in the service this morning, about the errors that people are using, they're picking up the Gnostic errors about Mary Magdalene saying she was an immoral woman. What we did was labor to demonstrate why in Scripture she was not immoral, and she was moral. So you fill the vacuum with positive teaching. It's very important to do that. Otherwise, people can, if you just don't fill the vacuum, you don't feed people, then what are they left to do? Go back to the false teaching. So church leaders are to fill the vacuum created by their countering false teachers and teachings in themselves, doing a proper work expounding the Word of God to the congregation. That's where verse 15 comes in. Study to show thyself approved unto God, workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I want to spend some time on this because it's an extremely important verse. And the Greek language provides something that we don't get at all in the English translations. Church leaders must make every effort. The word spoudazo is to make every effort to show themselves approved unto God relative to ministering the right versus the wrong way. Someday, I know I'm going to stand before the Lord and give an account for my ministry as to whether or not I did a good enough job in this. That's very, very important. And if we're teaching children, if we're teaching our children or somebody else's children, we will be held accountable for how well we did a job in this area. So we have to make every effort. Now, what is the effort that we are supposed to make? What are we supposed to be doing? Specifically, they are to make every effort to orthotomeo, the word of truth. Now, orthotomeo is the word used of workmen who cut a road across country that is forested or otherwise difficult to pass through in a straight direction so that the traveler may go directly to his destination. Paul meant Timothy was to counter the excessively wordy, mind-deceiving babble of false teachers by handling the word of God with simple clarity that the truth might become edifyingly obvious. The vast majority of my time in the study is not built on so much finding out what God's Word says. That can come fairly quickly. The hours that are spent there are working it and reworking it so that I'm sure that it's clear to everybody in the congregation. That takes hours. But it's very, very necessary to do that so that people understand. It's always rewarding to me when people say, "Pastor, I understood that. It was clear. I got it." That means so much to me. When teenagers tell me that, they say it was clear, I got it. Then I know I've done it. You know, I've arrived. When children tell me, "I understood, Pastor." It's very, very important that we clarify with clarity. See, false teachers are trying to do a job, a bait and switch, where they're trying to give you something here, and then they slip the false error in a subtle way that you don't even get it right away. True teachers should never do that. They should make it absolutely clear. This is the error here. This is the truth. Choose the truth over the error. The truth that we were trying to present this morning is Mary. The error is that Mary Magdalene was false and that Jesus had an immoral relationship with her. The truth is she was not immoral and Jesus did not have an immoral relationship with her. Period. You know, that's Gnosticism over here. We're not into Gnosticism. That's heresy. We're into the truth. That's what you want. You want to make it simple and clear, and that's what we need to do. So in handling God's word this way, the church leader, or this could be a parent, this could be a Sunday school teacher, the church leader would be a laborer who would not be put to shame before God, anapaiskuntas, which means that you're without being put to shame, as would be the false teachers. See, everybody's going to be evaluated by God someday, either the great white throne as a false teacher who doesn't know Christ or as a believer at the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to be evaluated about our teaching. None of the words that we say are dropping to the ground. They're being recorded, which is kind of scary. Yes, these are being recorded on an MP3 recording, but because of the outreach that it has to people in the world, I have a greater responsibility to make sure that it is accurate, that it is clear, that it is simple. Same with us in teaching, Sunday school, children, whatever, or someone else that we're discipling, we've got to work at being clear. If we are clear so that the person can grow through the information, then we have achieved the objective. Now, and this is also very, very important, and unfortunately, for a number of years in the pastorate, I failed to do this, and I know a lot of pastors failed to do this, and that's verse 16. But shun, and the word shun here is in the imperative. This is for Timothy. You, Timothy, shun profane and vain babblings yourself, for they will increase more unto ungodliness. Paul added that Timothy was himself to keep on shunning or avoiding for his own benefit. Now, this is benefit of being an unashamed workman before God. And the middle voice is used with the present imperative. In other words, keep on shunning for your own benefit. We don't have a middle voice in English. In English, we have an active and a passive voice. An active voice, the subject does the acting. The passive voice, the subject is acted upon. If I say, he flew, that's the active. If I say, he was flown, someone else flew him, that's the passive. In the Greek, you have, he flew, in the middle voice, which means you flew yourself for your own benefit. You flew down to see your mother or whatever so that you could be with her, or you flew to the hospital so that you could be taken care of. That's for your own benefit. This is the middle voice. Timothy, for your benefit as a church leader, you make sure that you shun or keep avoiding for your own benefit. The false teachers babbling for indulging in it would eventually make one ungodly. I'll never forget, one of our deacons mentioned that right after he was saved, he recognized that there was a false cult. Some Jehovah's Witnesses, I think, came to his door. So he started to study everything he could about Jehovah's Witnesses, and he was getting so thickly into it, he said, you know, I found out that it wasn't edifying me. I was spending so much time trying to find out what was wrong with them, I wasn't feeding my own soul. And I recognized I had to stop. So I went back. Yeah, I have enough to critique the Jehovah's Witnesses, but I went back to looking at what the Bible says positively, that it shows that Jesus is God in the flesh, and the Word became flesh and so forth, or that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form, something that Jehovah's Witnesses wouldn't do. And he said, that nurtured me. And you know, this is very, very true. You've got to watch it. You can study error to such an extent that before you know it, it kind of creeps on you. So you can't spend too much doing that. I like that the illustration that is used of Royal Canadian Mounted Police. They give them training. They used to give them training in regards to identifying counterfeit money. And the way they would do it, they would put them in a room and have them count true money all day long. That's all they did. That way, if they ever came across a false bill, they would tell. They could feel it, they could smell it, they could see something was wrong. But they learned to discern good from bad by handling only the good. It's a great illustration of what we ought to be doing, handling the good all the time. Once the bad comes across, it's going to ring a bell or a big gong in our ear. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy, watch yourself. Now, this implies the need for the church leader to guard his own mind from false teaching by not getting preoccupied with it, but rather absorbing his mind with the Word of God. The human mind is a slippery thing, and a preoccupation with error can lead even the well-meaning astray. Then the middle voice of avoiding used here to express the benefit of the subject reveals a church leader, and this could be a Sunday school teacher, has to nurture his or her own mind so that he or she can take a firm stand on the truth of others. Of necessity, this means you cannot be open-minded but protectively narrow-minded and focusing on Scripture. Increasingly, I will study for my own benefit first. If I'm not blessed by what I'm studying, I have nothing to share. I'm an empty shell of a man up here because I don't have anything to give in and of my own mind. It has to come from God. God is the one who fills it. So I've got to feed myself. I spend a lot of time feeding myself. If I'm not fed, I don't study for the congregation. I sit down and do my own thing, get sure my heart is filled with the Lord and with his word, so I'm blessed, and then I can write for other people. Very important, and a lot of pastors don't do this, and they're just drying up on the vine, and eventually the church dries up because they're not feeding themselves. Same with Sunday school teachers, whatnot. Make sure your own walk with the Lord, your own intake of the word is something that is creating fullness so that you've got something to share. Then when you have something to share, you can really nurture the children who are under you. So to have an upright teaching ministry, a church leader, or a Sunday school teacher, or a parent teaching a child, must keep reminding the congregation or the person that they're teaching of God's positive, true doctrines while continually charging them to avoid the bad, all the while filling the vacuum he creates and opposing the bad by working hard to expound Scripture with simple clarity that edifies the hearers. To succeed in this effort, the church leader must also nurture his own heart in not allowing himself to be preoccupied with error, but to avoid it by saturating his mind with the Word of God. So may we church leaders or believers who disciple others heed this directive before God as those who will one day give an account for doing so at Christ's return. Now I applied this in regards to the sermon. When I got to the conclusion part, I wanted to give a concluding illustration, and I thought what I was going to have to do at first to start diving into Gnostic literature and looking at all the errors that are there and, you know, picking information there to counter it. But Gnostic literature is so bad. It is so vile. See, the Gnostics believed in dualism. They believed that the body was evil and the soul was good. Since the body's evil, it's not going to be with you. You can indulge it in any way you want, all the lusts of the flesh and whatnot. And so they practiced this. This is where a lot of these weird ideas came up from. And I found that just by looking at some of the ideas, it was very unedifying, and I was troubled by it. And then the Lord brought to mind 1 Timothy 6:20. Don't have anything to do with that knowledge, falsely so-called. All I had to do was use that verse. And it knocks everything Gnosticism without us having to go into all the depths of the errant doctrines that are very unedifying. It just cuts it right off. And I'm so thankful that God had the Apostle Paul write that in there. So I camped on it. He used it. And so the concluding illustrations for the other two sermons that we have in Mary Magdalene will bring that up, because I want people to be aware that 1 Timothy 6:20 deals with this whole stuff about Mary Magdalene and how she's the wife of Jesus, or that she bore his child, and all this stuff that is very erroneous. It's just not true. It's Gnosticism. It comes from Gnosticism. So all we have to do is use 1 Timothy 6:20. Boom, that seals it. We don't have to go any further. And I found that when I just focused on that, it was such a relief. I was so thankful to the Lord. I've got a verse, and that's all I need to do is to give it to the dear people of God. Give the verse, that's it. God says it, I believe it, that finishes it, that settles it. And that's the way we need to be. So hopefully we follow this lead. We keep reminding people of the danger, keep saying no, but we fill the vacuum that we leave there by saying no, by giving them the right stuff. And that means we give ample stuff, we give the truth, we give it simply, we give it with clarity, and then in the process we watch our own hearts so that we can stay on the beam, and then God will use us.